Y'all ready for the Brothers Layman Sports Happy Hour?
You kidding me?
Can't wait. Blind in my truck, but I don't know where I'm going. Blind in my truck, but I don't know where I'm going. I keep riding in the circle. I keep riding in the circle. The inside of my ride spinning like a pound of purple. Blind in my truck, but I don't know where I'm going. Blind in my truck, but I don't know where I'm going. I keep riding in the circle. I keep riding in the circle. Inside of my eyes, spinning like a pound of pumpkin. Blind in my drop, but I don't know where I'm going.
You and the Brothers Layman Sports Happy Hour. We give you that sports talk in layman's terms. It gets a little raw in here, so if you like your sports talk clean, this is probably not the place for you. All right, let's get to it. Blind in my drop, but I don't know where I'm going. I keep riding in the circle. I keep riding in the circle. Inside of my life. What's going on, y'all? Welcome to another episode of the Brothers Layman Sports Happy Hour. We are your hosts, Chris
and Jonathan.
Hope you guys are enjoying your Sunday afternoon. Jonathan seems to be looking at his fantasy scores.
Ooh-wee. Look, man, just everything sports wise is just so right now. What can I say? Everything. Y'all know I brag about my squads, but you know what? They're all looking fantastic. Derrick Rose is 150%. Broncos are looking unstoppable. I mean, even the White Sox. We got the number 3 pick in the draft next year. Holla. We signed the top Cuban player out there. Let's go, son. Everything is just rolling in the right direction. And yes, my fantasy teams are just destroying today. Gronk's back.
Yeah, I'm having a rough go at it right now, but it's all right. I ain't going to give up, although it is very frustrating this season. I'm probably having my worst fantasy football season. It sucks.
Yeah, man. But that's what happens sometimes.
Keep having fun with it and enjoying the football life.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let y'all know, this is the Brothers Layman Sports Happy Hour, brought to you by Black Is. You can find us on Stitcher and iTunes Radio. Also on the homepage, www.blackisonline.com. If y'all want to hit us up, any comments, any feedback y'all want to give us, email us, thebrotherslayman@gmail.com. Hit us up on Twitter, @brotherslayman. Leave us a voicemail, 323-455-4219.
Hey, hit us up. Any questions, comments, concerns y'all may have, anything y'all want to know. I'm telling y'all, my fantasy league team is rolling right now. That's why I tell y'all, if y'all need any hints or tips, hit me up. I know who to draft. I know who to get. I know the right people to pick up. So get at us.
That's right. All right, we're going to start with some Major League Baseball. World Series is here.
Man.
We'll start with that game yesterday. Boston down 2-1. Detroit, seventh inning. Shane Victorino, bam!
Grand slam.
Woo! Off of Matt Scherzer, like, up. That's game.
That is all she wrote, and Boston is back in the World Series again. And, I mean, this is why they were my pick to make it to the World Series from the AL, because I mean, their pitching is great. Their rotation is unbelievable. Former White Sox JPV on the rotation, you know what I'm saying? So, I mean, like I said, my players and my teams are all over the place. So, hey, their rotation, Clay Buckles didn't have the best game, but he did enough, allowed 2 earned runs. But Shane Victorino had a huge hit. That was huge. But, I mean, he's had some clutch hits back when he played for the Phillies. And, I mean, people tend to forget that he was one of the better – he was an all-star. He was a perennial all-star and – came up huge and clutch for the Red Sox, and I know he'll be back and happy to try to get another World Series title.
Oh, yeah. I mean, coming from with the Red Sox being basically in last season, you know, a salary dump, what they're going to do, and then to come from that to the trip to the World Series, looking at the Yankees, looking pitiful and stuck and capped out. I mean, Boston fans got to be loving this.
And, I mean, they got a squad that can be together for a long time, a few years at least. And the way they're playing, they'll be leading that division for a few years.
Oh, for sure.
So,
I mean, and with the Tigers, and Prince Fielder, 9 for 40, averaged 225 in the series, one extra base hit, no RBIs in the series.
That means he had no home run. So
he ain't do nothing.
You know, one of the guys that I figured would be one of the reasons they had a shot. But if he can't produce, they really aren't much of a threat. So
no, Cabrera was banged up. I mean, he tried to gut it out, but I mean, he wasn't at 100%. But yeah, I mean, Prince Fielder, one of your key guys is not popping. I mean, no RBIs. You ain't even just scoring guys. I mean, getting on base, like, dude.
Terrible, terrible. But it's all right. Better luck next year, Detroit.
Like, you cared.
I really, you know, White Sox in the same division. So cool. That's fine. They almost made it, but didn't. That's fine. They can have the division crown this year. We'll be back next year.
Yeah, but up here playing St. Louis Cardinals. Man, that was an ugly game.
Dodger fans are pissed off. Like, telling you, this is why I don't root for the Dodgers. I'm telling you, I this is why I've always said they never produce runs when Clayton Kershaw pitches. I don't know what the hell the problem is. I don't understand it. They never produce runs. They never produce runs for him when he pitches. And yes, he had an off night, you know, allowed 7 runs, but I mean, it's times like that when your pitcher has to have some kind of help to at least boost his confidence a little bit. Because, I mean, if guys are tagging runs off of him and his team, his hitters aren't producing anything, I mean, his confidence is kind of like, well, it doesn't matter what I do because I'm not going to get any help.
Yeah, I mean, throwing almost 50 pitches in the third inning. They're just working him, making him work, making him throw. Because, you know, in this day and age, everybody's on a pitch count. You get close to 100, you're sitting down.
And then, of course, Puig made a couple errors that I'm sure the whole city of LA will be talking about for all summer and all until the next spring training starts. But I mean, this is what people were worried about with Puig. It's like, yes, he has the potential to be a perennial all-star player for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
But he's very raw. He's still very immature. So, I mean, a lot of people, you know, made comments here and there about the things he did and didn't like what he did throughout the regular season. And unfortunately, some of those errors came back and they did, you know, bite him in the butt. And, I mean, those are the things he's going to have to learn and he's going to have to grow a little bit and realize that, you know, yeah, there's a time and place to celebrate, and that's after you get that W. So, I mean, you can do the hands in the air after you hit the ball or whatever. But it's little things like that that rub people the wrong way, and that's why people tend to have an issue with Puig.
Yeah, you showboating somewhat against a team who, I mean, the Cardinals are...
They've been there, done that, son.
They are a World Series of Bust franchise. That's just what they do. And, I mean, come on, Puig, 5-for-22, 10 strikeouts in the series.
What you got to celebrate about?
You know, the team's MVP, Hanley Ramirez, 2-for-15.
With cracked ribs.
Yep, he tried to gut it out. Ether only hits 150 in the series. You know, they not much run support. Granted, this was a pitching duel. And, you know, Waka, 13 scoreless innings,
beast.
2-0 versus Kershaw.
Beast.
All that talk of, well, he's a rookie and he's going up against Clayton and all that. I mean, basically, he feel like his team is going to help him out.
If you can pitch, you can pitch.
Got himself the NLCS MVP.
Hey, much love to St. Louis, man. They pulled it out. They did what they're supposed to do. You know, they have a very well-rounded team. They have some young guys, some good veterans. Carlos Beltran is trying to get his ring before he retires, I'm sure. You still got Matt Holliday. So, I mean, they have some good players. And their pitching is awesome. Mm-hmm. Their farm system is good. Their pitching, their coaching. They just bring these guys up out of nowhere and just continue to churn them out. So, hey.
Oh, yeah, and just getting big hits from Beltran and guys like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but the Dodgers, I mean, we're already talking about that Mattingly will be back for one more season.
I mean, on a brighter note, we all had questions, but, you know, good. I'm glad Mattingly will be back.
He at turned least for next season.
They need to keep him for the long term. I mean, look, he got him, you know, basically, 2 games from being into the World Series. He did a good job turning them around when they started off slow in the season. You know, granted, yes, Puig had a lot to do with that. But as a manager, he has to make the calls. He has to make the moves that people question and blah, 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 blah. And he has to deal with the media and all the backlash. So he did a good job. You know, he played for the Dodgers. I mean, he has history with the team. So, I mean, he deserves to be there at least for a couple more years.
Well, next year, they're definitely going to have the high expectations. Yeah,
expectations.
Now that they've actually made the playoffs and now that they have a team that's potentially good enough to make it to the World Series. You know, and of course, Clayton Kershaw talking about getting A-Rod money.
Hey, didn't I say 200 mil? What happened? Now it's 300 million. I told you. It was even higher than I thought it was going to be.
They trying to lie.
Yeah. Now 200 million don't look that bad, does it? Exactly. I told you, Mr. $200 million, he getting locked up, period. And now when I read 300 million, I was like, what? $300 million. I thought it was two, but that's y'all money. Y'all can do whatever the hell y'all want to do with it. Is he worth that much? No. He ain't worth $300 million. Ain't nobody worth $300 million. Superman ain't worth $300 million. He is arguably the best pitcher in the game. He's going to win the Cy Young this year. So, I mean.
Yeah, I mean, you got to lock him up.
You got to pay him.
He should be the highest paid pitcher in the game.
But $300 million? That's $100 million over market value right now. Probably about 14 years, 15 years, I would assume. He's being locked up for the remainder of his career.
I mean, and how many games are these pitchers pitch? Like, what, 30, 40?
Roughly 40, maybe creep into 50, considering playoffs and all that stuff. Because, I mean, they pitch every 4 or 5 days.
But you pitching like a damn quarter of the season, which you're getting paid like a guy who plays every damn game. Hey,
but they control the game.
Hey, that's what I said. Pitchers are the...
They're the quarterbacks of the MLB.
Pitchers win you a World Series, as we've seen in these playoffs.
Yep.
So who you like? Who you... game starts Wednesday.
This is going to be a tough call, but I am going to roll with St. Louis in 6. Okay. I just think their pitching is on par, if not better, than Boston's rotation. I know they got the young guy, Walker, and he is a rookie, and this is a big moment for him, but he's shown that he can pitch in big moments and still produce. And they have veterans that have been there before, you know, and Carlos Beltran and Matt Holliday can kind of calm these young guys down, you know, in the bright lights of the moment. Boston, they're a team that kind of, their pitching is what's carrying them. You know, their hitting is okay. You know, they make clutch hits at the right time. But overall, consistent hitting is something they've had an issue with. So I just think my gut just tells me St. Louis in 6. That's what I'm going with.
Okay. Yeah, I think the Cardinals are going to win. You know, I guess maybe because I'm not pulling for the...
I mean, I'm not necessarily not pulling for Boston, but, hey, I mean, that's just my gut.
No, I think the way the Cardinals have been rolling and the pitching has just been on point, you know, I do think they'll pull it out. I know on Wednesday... They started Adam Wainwright against Lester. So, I mean, I think they'll keep it up. I like what I'm seeing from them. And, hey, it's going to be a great World Series. I will definitely be watching.
Oh, yes, definitely. Oh, there you go. Martellus Bennett, 7-yard touchdown.
Oh, thank God. So, what's he got, one catch?
That's what it looked like. Jeez, hey, dude. One catch, but he made it count.
At least give me something. Damn.
Oh, boy.
And then we're going to swing over to the college football where, wow.
Man. Upsets left and right. And first things first, Johnny Football. My goodness. Couldn't pull it out.
No, I still had a.
He had a great game. I mean, he had an awesome game. So did that, who's that receiver? Mike Davis? 200 yards receiving. I mean, what? And like 4 touchdowns. He had a stupid game, but their defense, that just shows how bad their defense is. Their defense is terrible.
Oh, this was like a no defense game.
Clearly.
Reminding you of Dallas and Denver. Like, all right, whoever has the ball last is going to win. But that, man, that end of the game, man, that D was on him something sick.
Man, serious.
Sit your ass down. As y'all saying to black astronauts, sit your ass down.
I'm telling you, hey, Auburn did their thing. They did the dang thing, and hey, they're looking good. They're looking good. So Manziel's gonna have to get it together. can't, you know, he's not going to shoulder the blame of this loss, of course. I mean, he did what he was supposed to do, but that's why it's a team game. You need help.
Yeah. I mean, and things have done changed. Florida State whopped Clemson.
Whoppers.
51-14. Damn, bro.
I thought I was expecting more out of Taj Boyd, but my God, man. This kid, Jameis Winston, he is the real deal Holyfield, dude. Number one pick whenever he's coming out. Number one pick, bar none. Mel Kiper said it first, I'm saying it second. Number one pick, bar none, when he's coming out, clearly.
Now that dude is a beast. Even with him, his first game, you were like, wow.
Yeah, he's an accurate dude. He's a big guy. Can move a little bit. I mean, he's everything you want and everything you're looking for. So,
shit, we actually got LSU takes an L to Ole Miss. SEC getting turned around.
I'm telling you, man. All that Bob Stoops talk, they pissed all them defenses off. It was like, all right, we're gonna show you what some defense is then, because these guys are ramping it up.
I'm saying Tennessee beat South Carolina.
Man. I don't know what's going on. What happened this weekend?
Missouri stomps on Florida 36-17.
Missouri's top five now. What?
Wait, hold on.
Buddy. Go ahead and take a look at
Vanderbilt
that
over Georgia.
Man. Georgia's, I don't know, man. Aaron Murray, like I said, he does not win the games he is supposed to win. I don't get it. He loses the big game. I mean, he wins the big games. I mean, they did lose to Clemson, but he normally wins the big games, but he loses the regular games they're supposed to win. Like a Vanderbilt, dude, they're an academic school, not football school. Whatever.
That's what I'm saying. And then we had Stanford beat UCLA 24-10. I mean,
it was Stanford upset was ranked, city, boy.
But, you know, hey, UCLA has been playing well.
Yeah.
And then Arizona State knock off number 20, Washington. So yeah, it's done changed. What we got going on in the standings now?
Oh, yeah. I mean, Bama's rolling. Bama's doing their thing. Pulled a shutout on that ass. God. And then another upset that people didn't really talk about much. Teddy Bridgewater, where you at, man? Louisville losing.
Yeah.
Good Lord. I'm like, what's going on this weekend, boy? Everybody's taking some L's, so I mean,
right now it's Bama and Oregon. Let's come on.
Come on. Ducks. That's what we have been wanting to see for some time. Yeah, we want to see the best offense against the best defense. Period.
We know how y'all gonna be.
That would be a great game.
Cause Florida's up, stays at number three. And we know how it goes out here in Southern California. And on the mm-hmm. West Coast, we know y'all itching to just put Florida State over Oregon, because mm-hmm. that's what y'all do.
And just to even mention them, USC lost to Notre Dame. So,
and the saga continues.
Yeah.
Jeez. Yep, so Ohio State's fourth and Missouri sitting at fifth.
Ooh.
At least on the AP top 25.
Hey, man. Hey. I mean, you got the USA Today poll. Their only swap is having Baylor at number five as opposed to Mizzou. I mean, hey, Baylor's making some noise too.
Mm-hmm.
So I mean, this is just, I'm just throwing this out there. Was RG3 that good, or was he a product of the system? Mm-hmm. I'm just throwing that question out there because, you know, he put up all these huge numbers. Yes, he could run and all this and blah 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 blah. But, I mean, look what they're doing now. Guys, you know, the quarterback they have now is throwing up 400-yard games and doing his thing. So, I'm just saying, we have questioned him so far in this young season in the NFL so far. He hasn't really looked all that great in the pocket. I'm just saying, is he a product of the system? You know, did we judge him more so off of what, you know, system he ran more so than his actual, you know, his actual capabilities and his actual talents? Yeah. I'm just saying.
No, bro got skills. That's what he's
saying.
I'm
not saying he ain't got skills. I'm just saying. He put up all these numbers that now, you know. I mean, Andrew Luck was not a product of the system. He ran a pro-style system at Stanford and was basically molded and ready to go.
Yeah.
Whereas RG3 had the spread, whatever, that all everybody and their mama be running and
running college offense.
That's what I'm saying. Like a guy like an AJ McCarron, he runs a pro style offense. That's why I feel he would be a very safe pick. If you lead, if you need a quarterback, he would be a very safe pick. Mm-hmm. Granted, his ceiling may not be as high as some of these other cats, but if you just need a solid dude, a solid quarterback, and that's like the one piece you need, give A.J. McCarron a look. He'll be ready.
Yeah, I feel you on that. So. I feel you on that. Since we're on college, we know the 13-person selection committee has finally been chosen.
Condoleezza Rice.
I know. Because you had Archie Manning and Tom Osborne.
You had Andrew Luck's dad.
Mm-hmm. And also committee, you had current athletic directors Barry Alvarez of Wisconsin, Pat Hayden at SC, Oliver Luck of West Virginia, and Dad Radakovich, if I'm saying that right, out of Clemson. Then you had former Big East Commissioner Mike Transy, retired coach Tyrone Willingham, former NC2A Executive President Tom Jernstedt. I'm fucking all these names up. I know I am. Former Air Force Academy Superintendent Lieutenant General Mike Gold.
All right, now.
Former college football reporter Steve Weiberg, and former Stanford Provost and Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice. Now, we know there's been a lot of talk. You know, part of it specifically at Condoleezza Rice.
Mm-hmm.
You know, of course, former Auburn coach Pat Dye came out saying what she know about it. You know, there's a lot of people who play who feel that they want the whole committee to be of ex-players in some form or fashion. Do you agree with that?
No, not necessarily. I mean, you look at society nowadays, women have broken the barrier now. They know as much, if not more, as some of these guys. I mean, it's not like, I mean, who knows what she knows about the sport? You don't know if she studied the history of it or whatnot. You don't know, you know? I'm sure there's everyday fans who feel like, well, I could do a better job than she can. Let's not kid ourselves here. I mean, this is a person who was in the political system.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she handled things under George Bush's jurisdiction.
But I mean, she's a former provost at Stanford.
I mean, she's very intelligent. Right. Let's just call it what it is. She's a very intelligent African American woman. She knows what she's doing. It wouldn't shock me at all if she's a huge sports fan. It would not.
No, it sounds like she is.
And I'm sure she is. I mean, to be in the committee, you know, for college football. So,
and on the board of directors at Notre Dame for 7 years.
Yeah, so I mean, I'm sure she knows her history. She knows her stuff.
And you know, it's just for guys in general, too. Like, you don't have to all – it's not every person who's successful in football has to be a former player.
That's what I'm saying.
You know,
Archie Manning sucked. I'm just saying – I mean, keeping it real, his team was garbage. Saints were terrible when he was the quarterback. Right. They were weak. But, I mean
– yeah, you want to have a mix.
Yeah.
You know, but you want guys who are students of the game. And clearly, I know she is one of them. You just want to know, do you know your football – do you watch this more so than, you know, like I do with an average fan? Just exactly. I'll catch a highlight here and there. Like, are you watching game tape? Are you really studying these guys? Mm-hmm. Because, I mean, that's what we want out of you.
Exactly.
We know it's a, you know, we'd love to have that 8-team playoff whenever that's going to happen.
We'll see.
Right. But at least the 4-team, I mean, you got to be, you need to do your homework. Mm-hmm. And she even said it, you know, strength of schedule, who you're playing. You know, we want. Like, we went in off on our last joint. Stop scheduling the softies.
Telling you.
You know, let them be penalized
for that.
Knock
that off.
So, yeah, I mean, it looks like it's a nice mix. You got some current ADs. Hopefully there's no favoritism playing out in that.
Hope not.
No, but I'm curious to see what's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when it gets down to that third and fourth team, and you got these one-loss teams, and we all know the SEC is going to have somebody in because it's the SEC.
Mm-hmm.
I'm curious to see. I mean, hey, good for Condoleezza Rice.
Mm-hmm.
You know, nothing wrong with having a woman on the panel.
Not at all.
No, it's like you need different viewpoints.
Knock that off, exactly. Knock it off.
You know, we spent all this time showing that little girl who was 10-year-old who was just killing fools and Pop Warner football.
Mm-hmm. Killing them.
Yeah. We know women watch football. We know y'all guys got some wives and some girlfriends who are big college football fans or football fans in general, rocking
probably
the jerseys
probably
and all
bigger
that.
Fans than y'all.
Mm-hmm. They know their stuff. So
yep.
Let's see what this committee can do. Let's just get this right, y'all.
Exactly. That's all we care about. Let's just get it right.
We're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back, talk some NFL, talk some NBA. Y'all listening to the Brothers Limit Sports Happy Hour.
Holla.
This is the dilated junkie.
if you like what you're hearing so far, make sure you like us on Facebook at Black Is Magazine and follow us on Twitter at Black Is Online. Now, back to the show.
What's going on, y'all?
Going on.
We back.
Man.
For the Brothers Lemon Sports Happy Hour. Yeah, we just went and checked our scores. Hey.
Looking great.
You know.
Looking great.
Interesting upsets.
Mm-hmm.
Big win by the Jets. Nick Foles,
I don't even know what to say. Yeah, Nick Foles ain't getting
head injured.
Michael Vick's back. That's all we need to be said. Michael Vick will be getting his job back. Thank God, because I got him on one of my teams.
Yeah, fools been hurt. I saw Deshaun Jackson was a little gimpy, but
oh man, cats getting hurt left and right. Got to cross your fingers and hope it's none of y'all peoples.
You know, what'd you think of Case Keenum starting QB for the Texans? How you think he gonna do?
You know what? I'm curious to see how he's gonna do. I'm pulling for him because I always pull for the underdog guy. But I mean, for him, I did watch him a little bit when he played at the University of Houston. The cat put up a lot of numbers. So I mean, he obviously has some talent. And I mean, at this point with Houston, what do you got to lose? They have nothing to lose by playing him seriously. So give him a shot. Get a young guy a shot. And I mean, if he gets this team rolling. Who knows?
Right now, he just needs a good showing because, granted, you're going up against the best defense in football right now in the Chiefs.
It's kind of bittersweet because I don't want him to do well because Kansas City, I got Kansas City's D, so I hope they crush him.
Right.
But at the same time, I mean, if Kansas City can get 5 sacks and he can win 10-7, I'll be happy. There you go.
Well, we can talk a little bit about that Thursday night game.
Yeah.
Seattle just smacked down Arizona.
Arizona tried to keep it close. Like a lot of people were, you know, talking about the Jaguars and the Broncos game. Yeah, they kept it close. Yeah, they kept it close at halftime. And then what happened? Smack it down after halftime. Yeah, so Seattle came in and just knocked them. Interception after interception.
Yeah, I mean, these are good defensive teams over here in the NFC West. But Russell Wilson, 3 touchdowns, 18 of 29, 235. Just leading the team as usual.
But he did have a couple fumbles, few fumbles.
Yeah, that was some big plays by Arizona D.
So,
I mean, it hurt.
He needs to clean a few things up. But
you know, granted, those were some just, I mean, they were some great defensive plays. So, I mean, he got to hold on to the ball. But
Seattle's defense, I mean, what can you say? They're ferocious, man. They just.
Yeah, I don't even know why. I had to play Larry Fitzgerald, but him banged up going against Seattle, it just, that's not a good that wasn't going to have a good outcome anyway.
Nah. I mean, they're just 7 sacks.
They learn ain't that popping.
Good Lord, man. Look at
that. Rashad Mendenhall, 13 carries for 22 yards.
And for Arizona, man, give Andre Ellington more carries. I'm tired of seeing Rashad Mendenhall. He's plotting. Like, he's no good anymore. He's done. That knee injury took its toll on him. It happens to the best of us, and he's just not the same guy. I don't know. Maybe he needs a year to recover to get his explosion back, but he just does not look the same. And if I'm Arizona, I'm giving Andre Ellington more touches because he's explosive. He's the more explosive player.
Yeah, you got to get to do. I mean, you ain't got nothing to lose.
Exactly.
I mean, what, 3-4 right now? I mean, you got to do something.
Exactly. Got to change up something. But, I mean, they're still in it. They're not out of it yet. So, we'll see with Arizona. They're still playing hard.
All right. And the NBA is about to start. A couple weeks.
Oh, I can't wait.
You know, we're going to do a preview show on that.
Oh, my goodness. I cannot wait.
When there's a lot going on. Your boy Derrick Rose looking, even saying he more explosive and showing it.
Fantastic.
You know, do you, he made some comments saying that, you know, although he has respect for the Indiana Pacers, the Bulls' only real true rival is the Miami Heat.
It's the truth.
Okay.
I mean, granted, they are a division in our same division. I wouldn't necessarily call them a rival. Really, at this point, there's really no major history between the two. I mean, but with Miami has been the team that's kind of put the Bulls out. The last few years out of the playoffs, they clearly have a dislike for each other. And, I mean, Derrick Rose said it best. That is their rival. That is their one rival, the one team that it seems where they can beat them in the regular season, but for whatever reason, they just can't get over the hump in the playoffs.
Right. I mean, we can argue that.
That is the thorn in their side right now.
Oh, it has been. I mean, when they last time Derrick Rose was healthy for the full season, you know, they beat them on the way to their first the three trips to the finals. And, you know, they play them. The Bulls play Miami Heat.
Probably the best out of any team in the league, period.
Yeah, I mean, you could say that Miami has a rivalry with the Bulls and the Pacers because they do. But as far as the Bulls and the Pacers themselves, no. They just, hey, like, Bulls get under their skin.
Yeah. They know how to play Miami. They know the formula. They have perfected it again, how to beat the Heat.
Yep, so all y'all need is your closer back.
Yep, and now that he's back and looking explosive as ever, just,
Yeah, we see even the Nets trying to take that blueprint. Talking about they're going to play the Heat physical.
And we saw them, you know, I saw Paul Pierce. I see you, Paul Pierce, giving that little shot to LeBron James. It's all right. It was, when they say hard foul, that wasn't, you know, he didn't tackle him. He just gave him a little shove, you know, and that's it. No big deal. Gave him a little shoulder shove. No biggie, but, you know, whatever.
Yeah, we know these guys just dislike each other, you know, and they have more drama with KG coming back and LeBron's comments about how come, you know, how come they not taking no heat for leaving the Celtics. You know, my boy Ray Allen, he came over here. Y'all was hating on him. You don't get any. And KG was like, look, we got traded for one. We didn't just leave the Celtics. He left.
Now, to be fair for LeBron, KG did waive his no trade clause. To be fair. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, yes, you did get traded, but don't make it sound like you couldn't nix the trade if you didn't want to. You could have said, no, I don't want to go there, and stayed in Boston. So, like I said, just to be fair to LeBron, he has a point.
Yeah.
He has a point. Because, I mean, you got traded, but you could have said, no, I want to stay in Boston. So,
yeah, and he's trying to be like, well, I can understand. I'm like, Cleveland and Miami ain't no damn rivals.
Yeah.
Nobody was like, oh, you leaving Cleveland to go to Miami? Oh, why you do that? And that, you know Cleveland was better.
And like, that's the difference. It's not like he, you know, they went to the Brooklyn Nets. They didn't, you know, which isn't a major rival for them.
Right, but they rebuild and, exactly. And all that.
But, I mean, Ray Allen was a free agent and chose to go to the one team that his team didn't like. So, I mean, yeah. I mean, yeah, they're not going to receive the same kind of, you know, guff and animosity that that Ray Allen got because he chose to go to the enemy. That was his choice.
He went to the most hated team in the league.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, I know Mark Cuban said that, you know, all the hate for Miami is good for the NBA. Well, of course it is.
Of course it is, yeah.
When the Lakers were, you know, they went to the final three times, everybody was like, man, fuck the Lakers, man. I hate them. Hollywood and Lakers. Stop talking about them. I mean, that's just what happens.
Yeah. That's how it is. You when you continuously win, there were people who hated Jordan. I hate the Bulls.
Oh, I was frustrated. I was one of them. I'm tired of seeing them.
And damn Michael Jordan.
Give him another MVP.
Stay retired. But, hey,
people get salty over little stuff.
Like, they want their teams to win.
Of course. You know, we're talking about somebody getting salty. I know you want to go on, Mr. Sensitive, Dwight Howard.
Mr. Pussy.
Yep. Orlando let Tobias Harris wear his number 12, which is officially not off limits. It's available, and he said, I want to use it. I don't think he knew Tobias Harris's reason why he chose number 12, because I heard it was for a close friend of his who had, I think, leukemia. Something like that. He had basically had an ill disease, and that's part of the reason why he chose a number. So I don't think Dwight Howard knew that when he made those comments, but
doesn't matter.
He sounded like a little soft.
He sounded like a little bitch. Like, why you let somebody wear my number? It's like, dude, we didn't even retire. Your number's not retired. You're still playing in the league. You're the one who wanted to get traded. So we traded your. Well, first of all, you wanted to go to Brooklyn. You screwed that up. Then you said you wanted to stay. Then you said you didn't want to stay anymore. So then we traded you to the Lakers. You went from the best center to the worst center, according to you. And then you chose to go to Houston. Why are you even worried about what's going on in Orlando? They're rebuilding. They're doing something else. You should be focused on Houston right now. And secondly, exactly, the fact that he did it for his boy who has leukemia. If it was such a big deal to you, I'm sure you can get Tobias Harris's number from somebody, call his ass up, and be like, yo, man, I just was curious, you know, that number means a lot to me. You know, why did you decide to, you know, switch numbers and choose my number? You know, it because, you know, whatever. And have a man-to-man conversation with him. And then he probably would have told you, oh, it's my boy, he has leukemia, so I'm doing it to represent him. Then it probably wouldn't have been a big deal to you. But you going over here flying off the handle like, oops, disrespect, he wearing my number. Like, wait a minute. So if that's the case, shouldn't nobody be allowed to wear 23? Ever. That number should be off limits.
Oh, Lord. Like the Miami retiring number 20. I hate that. I see that. That's so stupid.
I'm telling you, nobody should be allowed to wear that number. Nobody should be allowed to wear Magic's number 32 if that's the case. I mean,
right.
I understand it's your number.
And you feel some kind of way about it.
But that number is not retired yet. Ergo, like Chris said, that number is not off limits.
Right.
And if the brother who had a legit reason of getting the number wants to get the number, first of all, that ain't none of your damn business. That ain't your team anymore, and he's not your teammate. So he ain't got an answer to you anyway.
Nah, not at all.
So, like I said, your focus needs to see. Here it goes. He's worried about everything but what's going on in Houston right now. Stop worrying about everybody talking about you and worry about yourself and your squad.
You heard about his little, another thing he said with
watching of.
Well, him taking a lot of notes from the Batman movie, The Dark Knight, with that whole line where, it was the end of the second movie, and Alfred's telling him, like, you're the one who can go against the grain. You can do all these things. People can hate you, but you can absorb that hate. You can take it. Mm-hmm. And he was like, yeah, that motivated me. Oh, I'm gonna be that guy. Like,
so you're Batman now. He's the Dark Knight. Like, okay. First of all, choose which comic book character you are going to stand by. Because first you Superman, now you quoting Batman. Okay. First of all, stick with the right superhero. You need to be watching some Superman and some Man of Steel and quote something from that. Secondly,
you gonna be Iron Man or something. Yep. I'm Thor.
Captain America. Like, okay. But I mean, dude, look, you're at Houston. You finally had your chance to go where you wanted to go. Stop worrying about what's going on outside and people talking. People are going to talk and say whatever they want till the cows come home, dude. Your job as a professional is to ignore all that criticism and use it as motivation and work.
Yeah, just go back to being the guy who was the 3-time defensive player of the year, took your team to the finals. That's what Houston's paying you for. When you was a legitimate top 5 player, fools was not talking shit about you. I mean, we all know you was kind of sensitive and joking around, but fools are like, wow, this dude is a legitimate top 3 guy. We need to see that Dwight Howard.
Exactly. And it's not like you won 3 MVPs. You won 3 defensive player of the year. So, I mean, yeah. Okay, you know, you did some good things for us, but do you think you're the first player who somebody else took their number? This happens all the time. Right. You're the first one to whine about it like a baby.
Right. At some point, when your career's over, maybe they will retire number 12. Who knows? But right now, they not.
Nope. So especially not with the way you are.
Stop listening to that Drake getting all emotional.
Golly, man.
You know, on some other issues, saw Bill Russell arrested for having a loaded gun in his carry-on bag at the airport in Seattle.
Once again, why do you... You're Bill Russell, dude. You ain't got no security. You're 79 years old, dude. Yeah, seriously, you're Bill freaking Russell. Everybody knows who you are. I mean,
hey, this is America. We have the right to carry a loaded gun anywhere, everywhere we want to. But, and if you don't let me, I have a problem with that.
But it's like, dude, I mean, you can have a gun at the airport. It has to be checked though, and all that stuff. And
why is it loaded? I mean, it's on that's some the other thing.
It can't be loaded. So I'm like, yeah, dude, you got a loaded gun that you taking on the plane. You intending to assassinate somebody on that flight? So I don't know. I mean,
so he apologized and was like, you know, the TSA folk are real courteous and, you know.
Well, yeah, you're 79 years old and you're Bill Russell. Yeah. You thought they were going to be rude and mean to you? Of course not.
You know, well, I mean,
he's a respectful dude.
He's an older black man, so, you know, he like.
I'm sure he didn't come across as an asshole or anything like that. Oh, no, I'm sure he was very respectful to them. So yeah, I'm sure they showed the same kind of courtesy to you.
He was probably like, "Oh my bad, just hey."
Maybe it was in there. I forgot. I mean, he is 79 years old. There is a possibility. Maybe he damn sure forgot the bag. It was in there. I mean, it's a possibility.
Yeah,
he's old. I mean, I'm sorry. If he was 28, 29, different story. Ain't no, I forgot it was in my... No, you didn't. If you forgot, then you were high on something. 79 years old, okay. I'll give him the benefit of the doubt. Maybe he forgot it was in the bag. Possibly. I don't know. He had his permit and everything. So he had all the legal things he needed for it. So, I mean, it's not like he just brought a gun. It was registered. He had the permit for it. All the legal, you know, technicalities he needed for it. So, I mean, the only real issue that was... It was loaded. That was the major issue of the situation. So, I mean, like I said, maybe he forgot.
Yeah, he owned up to it, took it like a man. Exactly. Like, yeah, I made the mistake, and I will, you know, deal with the consequences.
That's what I'm saying. Maybe he forgot. And he did what you're supposed to do. He came out real quick and said his apology, not waiting 3-4 days for somebody to write him an apology to say and read off a piece of paper. Just came out with the apology and apologized for it. And now what happens? Nobody cares, and he's forgiven. That story will not even be remembered tomorrow, guaranteed.
Nope.
So.
And Derek Favors, 4-year, $49 million extension with the Jazz.
Utah's being very smart. They locking up that young talent.
Getting them locked up early.
Locked up Gordon Hayward last year. Locked up Derek Favors. So, I mean, they still got Ernest Cantor. I'm sure they'll lock him up at some point. Mm-hmm. They're trying to get these fools locked up before their potential takes their dollars to another level.
Oh, no, because with Derek Favors.
Smart move.
You know, no Paul Millsap, no Al Jefferson there. I mean, he is going to be...
The guy.
Mm-hmm.
He is now the face of the franchise. So
all this room and potential. And we've seen when he has time, he puts up good numbers. We know he's clearly going to be one of them high fantasy picks.
Mm-hmm.
So congrats to him. Just make sure you do what you got to do and earn that money.
Exactly.
In New York, Carmelo will be opting out at the end of this season. And he came out and said, I want to be a free agent. I want to know what that's like.
And that's fine. That is fine. That is completely okay. Ain't nothing wrong with that. You want to be a free agent. You want to be, you know, treated well. You want to be flown around and, you know, drove around the town and wined and dined. Mm-hmm. That's fine. You know, ain't nothing wrong with that. But be ready to hear it all season, especially in New York City. Are you leaving? Are you leaving? Are you going to leave? What are your thoughts on free agency? Get ready to hear for the whole season.
Of course. And since we already seen Paul George get ridiculous money,
mm-hmm.
we already know Carmelo's going to feel like he won more than that.
Yep.
He wants to, you know, if you play like I want to opt out, best thing in for me in my career right now, I can sign a longer term deal.
With the
and all that, but he came out with like, I want to enjoy being a free agent.
But I mean, what Paul George did, I mean, Indiana could offer him more money.
Yeah.
So, I mean, of course he's going to get that money, but I mean.
And he assured Mike Woodson that it would not be a distraction.
That's what he says. It's easier said than done.
They keep comparing it to everybody else. Why don't you do like Darren Williams, Chris Paul? I'm opting out. I'm not answering any questions. Decision will be handled at the end of the season. Do not ask me anything because I'm not talking about it, period.
And you could have did what LeBron did. Came out and said, you ain't discussing anything about free agency until the season's over, period.
Yep.
Done.
But it's Carmelo. It's New York. They iffy.
Drama.
J.R. Smith feel like he want to start. Bring your ass off the bench, please.
Mm-hmm. Golly.
No. You better be better than the Brooklyn Nets, bruh.
Yeah, seriously. Because that is the team of New York right now.
How about you do this? How about you be a leader? How about you play some defense? How about you give me like 8-9 boards a game?
How about you stop being playoff poison?
How about you get like, what, 4 or 5 assists a game?
More than 1 or 2.
Yeah, stop being the black hole, Carmelo.
But we all know
don't come to L.A. Well, hey, you know, if you want to come to Los Angeles, fine.
Be ready for the backlash.
Yep, it's the black hole at the 2 and the 3.
Kobe, give me the ball.
Like, uh-oh, Carmelo signed with the Lakers. Yeah, I'm not going there because I'm not getting the ball.
Nope.
What if you get a good point guard? Well, we know Kobe's going to pass. Kobe can pass.
Oh, my God.
We seen that. Yeah, that's all this. Jason Kidd, I saw, got his number retired. Mm-hmm. doing one of the preseason games, which is cool.
Now he can gripe if somebody wears his number, Dwight, because his number's retired now. So good for Jason Kidd. I'm happy
for
him.
Took his team to back-to-back finals, bruh.
Exactly. Orchestrated that offense and carried that team. So, hey, good for Jason Kidd. I'm happy for him. First ballot Hall of Famer, should be.
He's a leader and all about business.
And
Mr. Jokey Joke.
Hopefully, good luck on his coaching season. Because I know I clowned him earlier, but I mean, seriously. Yeah, I mean he has no experience, yeah, so he's learning on the fly.
Yeah, he's got a good team.
Yeah.
But with the money that the owner's putting behind that team,
your
expectations high.
You're expecting quick wins and early trips to the conference finals.
Geez, and your owner and the damn team and your players are already like, we better than the Knicks, nigga. It's our city. I'm like, oh wow, thanks. No pressure on them. And nice to see Allen Iverson is going to officially retire on October 30th at the Sixers home opener.
Nice. Happy for him, too. I'm glad he finally decided to call it quits. And, you know, I'm sure they'll do a nice celebration and a nice tribute to him during the first game when they retire him. When he retires, I'm sure they'll retire his number as well. And, you know, hey, kudos to him.
At some point, they will. Mm-hmm. Maybe not that game. But, yeah, he definitely will be retired going to that ring. You know, he's one of the best Sixers ever. Probably the best 6 foot and under player ever.
Oh, yeah. Arguably best. No question.
I just hope he get his home life together. Yeah. Man, this sound bad.
Yeah. Hopefully he can get his stuff together.
And our last topic, which, since both of us come from HBCUs, this is kind of sad to see. I don't know what the hell is going on at Grambling, man. But, you know, they already come out. We already seen the football players are like, we ain't practicing.
They forfeited.
Yeah, they didn't say we're not going to the game. You know, they tried to meet with the president at the school, and they just walked out. We're like, the conditions is crappy here. I'm talking about you got mold and mildew in the training facilities. We seen a picture where they got, like, mold and crap on the equipment and the uniforms.
Apparently, they're missing pieces of tile in the, you know, in the weight rooms and things like that. So, you got guys lifting all these weights, kind of having to watch their step at the same time. I mean, it's a cause for disaster. So, they have a reason to gripe. You know, apparently Doug Williams, from what I read, you know, put some of his own money into that system, trying to help them out. Where the money went, I don't know.
Yeah, and they cut him after like two games this season.
And then you had the players coming out saying they basically had to buy their own Gatorade and, you know, things to use during the summer and stuff like that during practices. So it's a very sad situation. I do hope for the school's sake that some of the former alumni can help out, you know, donate some money or something or help this school out. Because, I mean, I'm sure it's not just the football team, but since football does generate a lot of money for the school, you would think that they would take care of them. And, I mean, with the history that Grambling football has, you would assume that they would at least try to keep their athletics facilities up to par. I mean, you got cats coming out saying they had like 26 staff infections. That's fucking disgusting. That's disgusting. That's nasty.
Yeah, that's gross. Yeah, I'm looking at the picture right now. That's terrible,
oh, that's
man.
Nasty.
Come on. Nobody want to play in that. Mm. Look, black schools do a lot of good things.
They do.
And we know that a lot of times the only time you'll see black schools in the news and all that is when something bad happens like this and the tasing that fam and all that. But I mean this is a sad period. Like,
predominant African-American people come from these black colleges. I mean, you know, Denzel, Samuel Jackson.
We can just
Spike Lee. I can go on and on and on. But, I mean,
Chris Layman.
You know, Jonathan
Hampton University.
Layman, Morehouse College. You know what I'm saying? So it's it's sad. It's sad. I mean, when you really,
it's sad to see. It's sad to see because this is just like, dude, I'd be mad if you was just a hole in the wall school. Like,
exactly.
Why do you have fucking mold in a building that folk be at and then have to be in there like a lot?
The fact that these kids gotta buy their own Gatorade. We gotta buy our own Gatorade. Like, what? Okay, so I'm just like, I don't know. Did this school? If they get no funding, like, I don't know what's going on. I don't understand it.
I think they're a public university down in Louisiana. It just sounds bad. So, you know, it's a bad look. Get it together. I am totally not mad at them players. I mean, I'm not either. Did the right thing.
Exactly.
Like, we're not playing in these conditions.
And this finally got people's attention. And this is what you need to happen. People need to pay attention to this, and I'm sure you'll have people, you know, doing what they can to hopefully try and help this school out. Well, I mean,
this joint also, like, dude, one of them was like, we had to get water from hoses underneath the stadium, 90-degree plus weather.
And believe me, Chris and I know how hot it can be in the South in the summertime.
Oof.
Sticky, humid, muggy. I know how hot it can get. So, I mean, to have to drink water from hoses? Like, are you kidding me? So, I mean, I'm glad this came out. So, hopefully, something can be done to help these kids out. Because this is crazy.
Right. And I know, you know, they're asking for a lot. I mean, we know they want to take plane rides because they felt like, you know, well, the president.
You know, exactly. President, the athletic director, and all of them get to fly by plane to the games.
You know,
they're taking 17-hour bus rides to different places. It's like, are you kidding me? Yeah, right. I'm sure them kids are exhausted by the time the game starts.
And we know with a lot of the stuff that's been going on in the Fed where they cutting back money and loan programs. So I know Grandma said their budget's been cut like almost in half.
Mm-hmm.
So I know the stuff you got to deal with, but that's, you either move them to another building
exactly
to get that one cleaned, but that's gross.
That's disgusting. And like I said, hopefully this will open some eyes to, you know, some of the former alumni from the school. You know, maybe some people from other black colleges can do something to help this school out. Because, I mean, you know, Chris and I both went to historically black colleges. Our mom went to Spelman. You know, our grandfather went to Langston. So, I mean, a lot of our family went to black colleges. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, we take pride in that. And to see something like that it's embarrassing.
It is embarrassing.
It's embarrassing, and something needs to be done, and hopefully something is done.
Good luck to y'all out there.
Yeah, definitely. Good luck to them kids, man.
So we're going to get to our joints of the week. What you got, bruh? All
right, I'm going to go with my boy. Got to go with my boy, Young Jeezy, on this nice day. Chris will give me a look because I know how he feels about Young Jeezy, but that's fine.
Yeah.
That's my boy. But I got to go with I Love It from Young Jeezy. I'm sure people have heard this song before. I'm sure it ain't new, but I just love it because everything is going well for me today. I love it. My fantasy league team is demolishing. The Broncos about to kick Indianapolis' ass. Peyton Manning finna drop it on him. Von Miller about to get 6 sacks. And I mean, oh my goodness. Jerick Rose looks 150%. The Bulls look ready to roll to a championship. What more could I ask for? It's a sunny day here in Los Angeles, California. Nice weather outside. Perfect. I love it. I love it.
No, that's what's up. I'm going to go with this remix Lakim did for the song Doing It Right by Daft Punk. Nice little West Coast sound, little bump to it. Trying to give y'all some new stuff. I mean, I've been thinking about trying to do like a straight music show at some point.
Okay.
Playing all the stuff I got. So we'll see if that comes out or not for y'all. You know, we trying to do some things up at and Black Is over here.
Mm-hmm.
Keep things moving, y'all. Bring y'all some new stuff. Continuously give y'all the good stuff. Y'all.
Yep, oh, yeah. Yep.
Keeping it diverse, because that's what black people are. Diverse, y'all.
The black man is a...
Yeah, we just laughing. We watching that Key and Peele, man.
For those of y'all who don't watch, y'all need to watch Key and Peele. It's a very intelligent show. The skits are drawn out very well. They're written very well, and they are hilarious.
Oh, yeah, them dudes are great.
They're funny. They play off each other very well. So,
great acting.
For those of y'all who missed the Dave Chappelle show, this is a nice show that somewhat similar, but it's not as funny, of course, as the Chappelle show. But it's damn show
good. It's a different kind of show.
It's a different show, yeah, but it's damn show good.
Oh, so, yeah. Squeep! Santa Monica College.
Noice!
Yeah, no, just laugh, man. Yeah, please check that out. I know Comedy Central ain't paying us to advertise it, but yo, if everybody talking about Scandal and Preachers of LA,
exactly, I'm gonna preach some shows that I watch. Hey, also, if y'all want to watch some Bob's Burgers that come on Fox, that show is funny too.
Yeah, Since SNL don't want to add some diversity.
Exactly. You know what I'm
saying? Check out that Key & Peele. You will not be sorry.
Nope.
So we want to thank y'all once again for tuning in to the Brothers Lehman Sports Happy Hour, brought to you by Black Ears. As always, you can find us on Stitcher and iTunes Radio. Please leave us 5-star ratings. We will read them on the show. You know, like us on Facebook under Black Ears Magazine. If you want to follow us on Twitter, you can follow us at Brothers Lehman. Or you can always follow Black Ears at Black Ears Online. You want to hit us up, please do. TheBrothersLehman@gmail.com. Leave us a voicemail, 323-455-4219. Just check us out. You know, we got other podcasts. We got The Break, hosted by KC Lehman.
Going on, sister.
We got Coach Connection with Brother Malcolm.
Brother Mal.
It's a lot of good stuff, y'all. Always support us. Support other great podcasts that's out there. Because it's a lot of us.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it is.
Keep this movement going.
That's right. That's right. Well, we appreciate y'all tuning in to us. And those for the all-the-time listeners, definitely appreciate y'all listening to us. Let your friends, your family, your loved ones, your cats, your dogs, everybody you know, let them know they're listening to the Brothers Lehman Sports Happy Hour. And we have been your hosts, Chris and Jonathan, where we're giving it to you strong and it goes down smooth.
Take it easy, y'all.
Holla. Lord knows I stay high. I'm back in the motherfucking booth. These niggas still lying, I'm the motherfucking truth. Yeah. I don't believe, I need some motherfucking proof. I ain't want the four-door, I cop the motherfucking coupe. They try and be me, I'm just trying to be G. And everything comes to the light, you'll see. These niggas in the dark, baby, I just shine. I do it from the heart, homie, they just rhyme. Check your watch, nigga, it's my time. Mind made up, I was on my grind. So pay attention, yeah, you're on my time. In that case, time waits for no man. Do it again, I done it before, man. M.O.E., he ain't part of the program. Or maybe you niggas ain't listening. Open your eyes, I'm a blessing in disguise. We count hundreds on the table, 20s on the floor. Fresh out of work, get on the way with some more. And I love it. And I love it. I got gangsters in the crowd, bad bitches at my show. Just walked outside and it's sitting on four. And I love it. They ain't like that. Damn. It switched up on me, and I ain't like that. Nah. So my first brick, yeah, I came right back. Fast forward the tape, nigga, look at me now, and I never turn back. So motherfuck that. Damn. Nikes on the ground, got my head to the sky. Smoke all day, Lord knows I stay high. Stay on top, Lord knows I'm gon' try. I live for the moment, Lord knows I'm gon' die. Yeah. And when I get to hell, Lord knows I'm gon' fry. Woke up this morning, so I'm still alive. 36 old, I sold them all. Hundreds on the table, 20s on the floor. Fresh out of work, get on the way with some more. And I love it. And I love it. I got gangsters in the crowd, bad bitches at my show. Just walked outside and it's sitting on four. And I love it. And I love it. Been around the world, it's the same old cane. Been around the world, it's the same old thing. All the real niggas, either dead or in jail. And if you for me, homie, I'm in the ATL. You gotta play a high go, you can't cheat on life. You better drink a Red Bull, you can't sleep on life. I ain't trying to do you, I'm trying to do me. Last album did two, I'm just trying to do three. Fresh out the pot, yeah, the work was hard. Ride with the top down, so I'm closer to God. My P.O. telling me I need a 9 to 5. But I already got a job and that's staying alive. We got hundreds on the table, 20s on the floor. Fresh out of work, get on the way with some more. And I love it. I got gangsters in the crowd, bad bitches in my show. Just walked outside and it's sitting on four. And I love it. And I love it. Young ride to die. Lord knows I stay high. And I love it. And I love it. I love it.
Everybody.